Well, I have an important announcement to make. I don't know who here needs to hear this, but we are 10 days away from Christmas. Is everybody ready? Everybody ready? It's coming up. I had somebody ask me the other day if we were done with all of our Christmas shopping. I said, yeah, I think we've got a few odds and ends. They said, what about the kids? You know, do you have anything for the kids? I said, our kids are at the age that they let us know what they want for Christmas in June. So we've been done with them for a while, knew what to expect there. But, you know, Christmas is one of those big things that you get ready for. And sometimes when something is big and significant, you take the time to get ready for it, and you want to make sure that everything is right. I don't know if you have anything coming up in your life that maybe is going to be a new chapter, maybe a new season, maybe a new opportunity, a new challenge. Maybe you're just sitting there going, I'm just trying to get through the last few weeks of 2024. I'm right there with you. I get it. Whatever is on the horizon, whatever you might be trying to get ready for, if it's something big, if it's something significant, you want to make sure that you're ready. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what does it look like to be ready for something big? Because in a lot of ways, that's the role that John the Baptist plays in the story of Jesus. He is the one there saying, something big is about to happen, I'm here to get you ready. Something significant is about to happen, I'm here to make sure that you're ready for what's coming up next. And so this morning, we're going to look at this story of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, and see how it provides a guide for our lives for how we can be ready, how we can be expectant, how we can be in the right place. When it comes to Christmas, you know, you want things to be right. I remember when Emma and I first got married, we didn't really have a whole lot to get ready for that very first Christmas. Nobody was coming over to our house. All we had to do was show up. It was pretty easy. In fact, it was so easy that we even forgot about how we were going to do our own like gift exchange between the two of us. And we were going between family gatherings because that was all we were required to do was just show up. And we're going between those family gatherings. And we found a house under construction that was really nice. We said, hey, why don't we go in there and exchange gifts real quick? So we went in this house. The door was open. We went and exchanged gifts, and we sat there as, you know, two recent college graduates living on entry-level salaries and said, this is probably the nicest Christmas we'll ever have in this home that's under construction. I mean, it was a beautiful home, and it was a kind of a fun experience. But then a few years passed by, and we're getting ready to host Christmas for the very first time at our house, and we want to make sure that everything is ready. And so you get into that critical mode where you're like, everything has to be right. There are window seals you didn't even know were in the house that all of a sudden you're cleaning. There are countertops that you're inspecting. You're making sure everything is absolutely perfect. And there's one thing that you've got to have absolutely perfect at your house if you're hosting Christmas, and that's the tree. And we had not been able to find a good tree that year. We kind of had a small one that we had put in one room, but it just wasn't cutting it. And it was like, we really need a better tree if we're going to have people over. And so I went on a hunt for a tree, and I'm looking everywhere. And then all of a sudden, I remember that, you know, I've got a friend who owns a hardware store, and I think they've got a garden center where they might have trees. I don't know why I didn't think about this beforehand. And just so happened, I went to a funeral a few days before Christmas and happened to be sitting beside him. And I said, hey, do you have any trees left at your store? And he said, yeah, we've actually got like three or four left. And I said, okay, great. Are they any good? He says, I have no idea if they're any good. I just want them gone. Just come by and we'll give it to you. I said, okay, perfect. So I went by his store, pulled up with the church van, because that's what you do when you work at a church. You borrow the church van to go get your Christmas tree. And I pull up there, and I'm ready to find just anything that might be suitable. And I kid you not, he had a tree on his property, on his lot, that would have qualified for the Rockefeller Center. I mean, it was also, it wasn't quite that big, but in terms of fullness and grandeur, it was the absolute most perfect tree. And I said, seriously, I don't owe you anything for this? He said, just get it off away. I don't want it anymore. So all of a sudden, we have the perfect tree. Everything is absolutely perfect. I bought the wrong color lights to put on, but that's okay. Everything was about as good as it could be. Because when something big is about to happen, you want to make sure everything is right. But John shows up on the scene, John the Baptist, and John wants to make sure that people are ready for something big that's going to happen, the coming of Jesus, the coming of the ministry of the Messiah. And he wants to make sure that they've got everything right in a different kind of way. He comes to make sure they've got things in order in their hearts and in their souls. He comes to be correcting, to put them on the right path. How many of you like to be corrected? Do we have anybody who's just like, I just love to be put in my place and told what I'm doing wrong. Just, you know, give me all the constructive criticism in the world. It's the best thing ever. I see no volunteers. So You're either asleep or don't like criticism, and I probably both. But when we think about being corrected, it's not something that we easily want to sign up for. It's not something that we just are eagerly like, I just want to be corrected. I remember when I was very early in ministry, I was still a college student, but I was a part of a few student organizations and got the chance to do some teaching from time to time and leading music, and I was just kind of growing in that. And I remember the first time that I had to deal with public criticism. We had this little student newspaper that was kind of an underground operation at the college I was at the time. And in this little student newspaper, people would write opinion columns, and there was one where there were some shots taken at me about my character. I wasn't named, but you could kind of read between the lines. It wasn't too hard. There were only 600 students in this school, and so we kind of narrowed it down and said, I think this guy's being pretty critical of me, and so I did something rather foolish. I decided that the next chance I got to do some teaching, that I was going to try to set the record straight. And I had this great message prepared called, I Didn't Get the Memo. And I Didn't Get the Memo was about, I didn't get the memo that I was supposed to be perfect. And I had a friend who came up beside me after that service. And his name's Charlie. Charlie is still one of my best friends. Love that guy dearly. And Charlie is one of the shyest people I know. I mean, he's just not that, you know, overly outgoing, great guy. You can sit and have a long chat with him, but he's not going to be like the life of the party or anything. But Charlie pulls me aside and just very lovingly said, Anthony, I don't think people want to hear you complain about what other people are saying about you out loud. Just teach the Bible study. And with those words, it was a nice little corrective. Did I like hearing that? Did I feel righteous and indignant that I was standing up for myself and standing up for the truth? Yeah, I did. But it was good to get that correction. He has saved you as people who are a part of this congregation from so much misery, because I learned that lesson over 20 years ago, that you don't have to do all your complaining out loud in front of other people. And that little correction was so helpful. And here in this story, we have people who are coming to John, and they want to be baptized, and he's proclaiming, you know, the good news, that the kingdom of God is near, and he's letting people know that the Messiah is coming. And he's telling them, someone greater than me, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals, it's on the way, and it's going to be an even more powerful baptism. And so you need to get ready. And so people are like, what is it we need to do? And he says, you know, look for fruits of repentance, fruits of righteousness. Fruits of repentance essentially means you need to come and confess your sins. You need to be ready. You need to acknowledge what's not right within your life. You need to look and see what might not be as it ought to be. And so people are like, you know, what does this mean for us? And so he gives one example. He's like, if you see somebody who's in need, give them what they need if you have what they need. Just kind of, you know, don't hoard everything for yourself, but look out for the needs of others. He's even got tax collectors and soldiers coming to him. And essentially what he says to them is, don't exploit people. Do what's right. Do what's just. Make sure that people are taken care of. Make sure that you do what is right. And all of it was a little corrective. It was a little bit of saying, something big is about to happen. You need to be ready. And that means having things right in your heart and your soul. Earlier this fall, we had the chance, if you went to our camp meeting out at Camp Tiger, you got a chance to hear from J.D. Walt. J.D. Walt is a great teacher, he's the primary writer for The Wake Up Call, which is a daily devotional that a lot of people subscribe to. And he came and spoke for camp meeting. And then the next day, he gathered in this room right here with some pastors from the South Georgia Conference, the Global Methodist Church. We all gathered here and just had like a time of teaching and everything. And so he was talking about the story of Jesus and the vine and the branches. And he was talking about this whole idea of pruning that's within that story. In that, Jesus says, anything that's not bearing fruit, I'm going to cast aside and is going to be burned off. And we get that same imagery here right at the beginning when it talks about John the Baptist's ministry. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. And then he goes on, he says in verse 9, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And so J.D. Walt was talking about this idea of pruning, about how you that which is not bearing fruit is going to be cut away. It's this process of correcting, of making things right, so that it will be ready for what's next. And so it will be ready for growth again. And J.D. had us break up into these little small groups. And so I gathered with a few pastors over in that corner right there. And we're talking through it, and there was a guy who had grown up in South Georgia, and his father had never been into gardening, never been into agriculture or anything like that, but he was given the gift of some scuppernong. How do you say that? Scuppernong, that right? Something along those lines. And so he gets the gift of some trimming, some plantings, whatever it is that he needed to get started for his own little orchard. And he doesn't really know what he's doing. But there's a county agent in the community that they live in who said, hey, I'll come by and help you with it. So he goes and he gets everything set up and everything kind of grows the first season. And then the county agent says, I'm going to show you how to prune it. And so Roy was the guy who was telling us the story. He says, I go by my dad's house and the vines are just obliterated. And there's just this huge pile of trimmings by the road. And I walk inside, and my dad is sitting there, and he looks depressed. I'm like, Dad, what's going on? He says, I think the county agent just killed my entire orchard. It's gone, the whole thing. And the dad was so dejected and thought that there was no way that any fruit was ever going to be produced because he had just cut away way too much. The next season, when the harvest came, Roy's mom ended up having to bag up and box up so many scuppernogs that had been overproduced that she was going to every grocery store in their county to try and sell them because they had produced so much. And so his dad goes back to the county agent and said, I thought you killed that thing. I thought there was no way it was ever going to produce fruit again. Why, you cut it back so much. And the county agent said something that was so profound, and this has become a rallying cry in my life over the course of the past couple of months. You cannot rely on old growth to produce new fruit. You cannot rely on old growth to produce new fruit. When I heard that, I thought about, you know, my life and my spiritual journey. And I think that sometimes we rely on, you know, maybe, well, I learned this back in the past, or I was really involved in my youth group back in the day, or I used to be really dedicated to this Bible study. I was there every single week. But then time goes by, and we feel as though everything's not exactly on track within our lives. And sometimes we need that corrective. Sometimes we need to be pruned, and we need to look for and be pruned and corrected and molded into who we ought to be so that we are ready for new growth. You think about, I think about something that somebody shared with me one time, that they felt like that their entire spiritual journey was living off the fumes of an experience they had had back in the late 90s. They had had a powerful experience with God, and they just tried to live off that as long as they could. And as good as it was, they realized they needed to seek fellowship with Jesus again and again and again because they couldn't live off that one experience forever. And for us, if we want to produce fruit in our lives, if we want to be ready for something new, if we want to be ready for the next challenge, if we want to embrace something new that God wants to do within us, we've got to be ready to be pruned, and we've got to be ready to be cut back and corrected and put in the position where we are ready for new fruit to take root in our lives. We think about this from the standpoint of our relationships. We think about it from the standpoint of our spiritual relationship. We think about it in really anything that we're going to do. That if we want to be ready for what's next, we've got to be corrected and molded and shaped so that we're ready for what's going to come. And this year, as we get ready for Christmas and we're getting ready to go into a new year a couple weeks from now, as we get ready for what's next, whatever that happens to be for each and every one of us, we shouldn't be afraid to be corrected. We shouldn't be afraid to evaluate our lives and examine what's going on within us and to truly ask, are we ready to bear fruit with our lives? Are we ready to be who we ought to be? Are we living as though we are in the position to bear fruit for the sake of God's kingdom? Christmas is a big deal. And John the Baptist shows up on the scene, and we look at his story every year during Advent. And it's not always the most comfortable message. It's not always the one that we just rally around and go, ooh, can't wait to hear the John the Baptist message this year. But it's a good one. It causes us to ask the question within our lives, what needs to be corrected? What needs to be made whole? Where are we broken? Where are we falling short? And how might God use this time as we get ready to celebrate the coming of the Messiah who came to make all things new and all things whole within our lives? How might God use this as a chance to invite us into that moment of repentance to be ready for what is big and is going to happen in our lives?